Welcome to the Monday Minute of the Huntsback Country Podcast. These are shorter and more informal episodes where we answer your listener questions. Steve, it's April, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, it's April 1st. We should probably be doing some kind of joke or something, huh?
I know, like a
Yeah.
gimmicky email should be going out.
Yeah. It's not really our style.
Yeah.
These are good. Obviously, we got T minus what 4 days till we fly down to Las Vegas and drive over the Grand Canyon for the death hike. I'm very excited and nervous. Like the weather forecast is not good at all. And then did a long hike last Thursday. I got in like it's like a little over 22 miles and 6,000 feet of elevation. And it was just a muddy, and it poured rain that Wednesday night. And so the whole, I got on this road system and the whole, it was just a muddy freaking mess. And I was pretty wiped out after that hike, man. I was kind of like, oof, this is gonna be interesting. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's coming quick. I have so many conflicting like thoughts and a great mix of excitement and
Yeah.
nervousness and hope and worry, like which is honestly everything you want going into something like this. That's why you do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you just felt uber confident rolling into it, then probably made it too easy. But I did make some homemade bars the yesterday. I went to the grocery store to get food for this hike, and it was one of those deals. I was like in the granola bar aisle or whatever, right? I just had a stomach ache just thinking about eating all that crap. Like, man, I just want to make something, make something quote unquote real. And ended up finding a peanut butter pecan cookie recipe. And I actually already previously bought some little like basically like a muffin tin, but they're just instead of muffins, they're kind of bar shaped. And they ended up throwing that all together, and man, that turned out fantastic. I want to try a like tweak the recipe a little bit more and add a few things to it the next time I go around, but I was really happy with the results.
Nice. You made enough that you're gonna bring some on the hike?
Yeah, I made 12 of them. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, I started playing around with my own bars and kind of the same thing. I've tweaked them each time, and I'm getting close to, I don't want to say there's like perfection, but for me, like, ooh, that's great. Like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop messing around. And once I do, it'd be fun to share the recipe. So maybe we should both do that. Like,
Yeah.
tweak, semi-finalize our recipes and then share them just as an idea or inspiration, which is, I mean, part of the fun is having a recipe from someone, but then making it your own, you know, substituting stuff or adding stuff. So that'd be fun. You mentioned weather. I know that Boshma texted me over the weekend, and I think Chris Denham from Western Hunter had texted him and was saying that things are looking less than ideal, I guess, to put it one way. Did Boschman text you that same thing?
Yep.
Yeah. So just looking to be cold, which is one thing, but windy, some more chances of snow. Yeah,
Yeah, just
we'll
the
see what
chance of
happens.
snow, and it's like gusts up to 40 mile an hour winds. Like it could be, I have no idea what that, maybe the canyon blocks it or it accelerates it, right? If it all gets funneled into the canyon. So it could be, I don't know, it could be interesting. But it is what it is. We're going. Like the only thing would be like clothing during the hike, what changes there, and then shoe. Like if there is a lot of snow and or rain, what obviously don't have Gore-Tex shoes planned at all for this, and I don't know what you do there.
Yeah, if only you knew what exactly was
Yeah.
going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I've been doing the same thing of I had a very set like clothing that I was planning on wearing and clothing that was going to be in my pack and trying to keep that super minimal. Just knowing that I'm going to try and minimize breaks and things like that. But then you start throwing in wind and precip. And even aside from a temperature change, just wind and just precip at those temperatures changes everything on what you may need. From a comfort perspective, yes, but you know, not to be dramatic, but somewhat from a survivability perspective. If you know you do have some sort of issue and you're moving slower, you're taking more breaks, or you have to take a prolonged break, like you can't just sit there and be exposed to those elements. So, Yeah, fun stuff to think through here in the next few days, dude.
Yeah, I'm just certainly watching the weather and hope the forecast gets a little bit better. And if it doesn't, just have to adjust what we need to bring and go for it.
Well, April makes me think of spring bear being right around the corner because a bunch of states open up later this month. And then definitely noticing somewhat of an uptick in some spring bear questions and things like that. So I know we're not quite to bear season, but it is right around the corner. And wanted to throw in a couple listener submitted questions about spring bear season on this one. So the first one, this is something I've never thought of, but the guy wrote in and said, is there any worry about putting bear meat in a reusable game bag that you would then plan to use later in the year for elk and deer? I know that trichinosis is a concern with bear meat, but I don't know if the blood in the game bags would be a problem in the wash or in the bags for later hunts. So yeah, I've never thought about that specifically, like having a dedicated set of game bags for bear meat, or, I reuse game bags very frequently. But I've never thought of like this prolonged, like, ooh, exposed to bear meat and then use later in the fall. Well, I didn't have any thoughts, and since I didn't have any thoughts on it, I didn't really have any concerns on it. I don't think, and I tried to look a little bit more into this, I don't think that there's a main issue. I think the larger issue here isn't just trichinosis in general, but just cleaning game bags in general. Obviously, aside from trichinosis, just you take a bloody game bag, it's going to have some meat, some other things with it. And then if you let that sit, that's like a perfect recipe for just growing a bunch of bacteria and funk, right? So I think the big thing here with reusable game bags isn't so much like species to species, et cetera. It's just taking care of them, washing them well, and being able to reuse them, without whether it's trichinosis, bacteria, et cetera, any issues like that. What do you use, Steve, in terms of anything specific, any process, any heat, bleach, cold, whatever, in terms of reusing washing game bags?
Usually I end up being kind of lazy and just throw them away. That sounds terrible,
Well, to
but
be fair, you've actually had some like you built as well. So from a
I sewed
perspective
up
of
a
like budget and whatnot.
I sewed up a bunch, and usually what happens is I take the meat to the butcher, the one that I use, kind of smaller guy, so I just hand him the meat with the game bags on it, and then he returns the meat. He usually takes the game bags and actually doesn't clean them or anything, just throws them into a vacuum sealed bag and seals them back up. And then I end up either just throwing that out or a couple times I've washed them, but I just kind of hosed them off good and then just threw them in the wash with regular, detergent. I didn't do anything special. They came out, totally fine. But yeah, I'm sure there's a game bag company's experimented with it and has some process of this soap, or like we say, use like really cold water with the packs to get blood out. Obviously that would apply to game bags. Yeah, I don't know.
I generally try to, especially, similar to your point, like if they've been sitting for a little bit before you get to clean them, I'll try to soak them and just loosen up anything like pieces of tissue, fat, etc. That may be a little bit more in a dried state and clinging to the game bag. So just soak them. And as you're obviously soaking them, you're also working some of that blood out. Flush that soak. I'm usually just doing that in a bucket outside and try and get them halfway clean through the soaking process, essentially before I try and bring them in the house and throw them in the washing machine. Because I can definitely tell you that my wife wouldn't be happy if I brought chunky, bloody game bags into the house and threw them directly in the washing machine. So yeah, I just soak and rinse, soak and rinse. I've only hand washed at times, like just that process and just air dried. And then there's been times where I've thrown them into the washing machine as well. So yeah, I don't know if that's an oversimplification. Never have had any issues. And then just to speak to trichinosis specifically, at least from my basic understanding, it is a parasite. It's going to be
In the meat, right?
in the meat. So there's not really an issue with it being coming out of the meet, somehow like attaching to the game bag, and then surviving some sort of wash cycle, say from the spring, existing throughout, months leading up to fall deer and elk season, and then contaminating meat in the fall. From my understanding, I don't think there's any chance of that happening. So to get back to this guy's original question, reusing game bags for bear meat and then using them later in the year for elk and deer, I don't think you have any concerns with trichinosis. The main thing is just take care of them in general. Don't let bacteria grow, etc. So next one, Steve, and this is, an interesting topic every year. It sounds like this guy is, newer to bear hunting, but he wrote in and said, "I'm looking to do a spring bear hunt this year and was curious if you had any take on trying to choose the best time frame to see the most bear movement. I'm planning to go for a week into the wilderness. Is there a consistent time window that it hits every year, or is it solely based on snow line, elevation, and weather? What strategy in regards to watching the weather or snow would you recommend?" So in terms of timing and bears, there's a lot that can go to it. It obviously can depend on the year, the winter, the snow line, the spring, right? Are you getting late snow? Are you getting an early warm up, et cetera? It can vary area to area, of course, within a state, and obviously state to state from a larger scale. And then he also mentioned like the best time to see the most bear movement. And I don't know if I'm being nitpicky and noticing that in his question, but I would say movement isn't necessarily what you want to see. Like you could hunt bears later into the year, and boars are going to be out cruising more closer to the rut, which is going to be later transition spring to summer. And they're moving a lot more. The problem is they're going to be really hard to hunt because they're moving so much and they're on the move that it's going to be tough to close the distance on them in many cases. So again, I don't know if I'm being nitpicky by him saying bear movement. Seeing bear movement isn't necessarily what you want, unless maybe that's your hunting style, is to see more boars and to see them cruising and to look over more boars. The other option is seeing them early, them being out a lot, but not necessarily moving a lot, meaning they're going to be out early and concentrated on just refeeding. And so they're going to be on a food source. They can be visible over a longer duration of the day. They can be out for hours eating, but they're not necessarily moving a ton, which is actually a great opportunity then for you to close the distance and create a shot opportunity. So there's a little bit of a distinction there, tactic wise, strategy wise. And I would somewhat relate that to even like guys talk about timing, say with elk, and it's like you can get a difference in what someone wants their elk encounter, their elk behavior, their elk opportunity to be. And the timing is chosen based on what they're trying to do and their hunting style and their hunting tactics. And those two things can go together. The animal behavior and the timing pairing with your hunting strategy and your hunting tactics. Does that make sense, Steve? So I mean, anything to add to that in terms of timing, weather, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, without specifics on, I mean, it just all depends on essentially the snow line. If you're hunting an area that, low in elevation that doesn't have like snowpack, then it's, April 15th. Get out there early, as soon as it opens. Generally for me, where the areas I hunt, I'm going to say, if you and I are talking, it's going to be like come out between May 5th and May 20th. Where I'm hunting, I want the snow to have melted, at least on all the south facing slopes to where things start to green up and there's feed there that's going to concentrate the bears. But also, if the north faces still have slope, that's fantastic because it just kind of, or if the north faces still have snow, that just keeps it's one less area you have to look, right? And there's also not going to be really good quality feed there anyways. Like when we did that hunt 2 years ago, we timed that absolutely perfect. It was very much concentrated to the south slopes were green, north slopes were all snow. And also I'm trying to time for bear visibility, time before all the bushes start getting leaves and flowers and things like that, right? So you can really see into the cover. Everything's, exposed. If you go later into May, into June, at least here in Idaho, the areas that I hunt up in the mountains, then it starts getting, there starts to be a lot more food sources. So the bears are going to be more spread out, as well as, you get all that leafy cover, and they just get a lot harder to find. But generally, yeah, April 15th, the elevation that I hunt, it's just going to be all snow, and bears might be, coming out of their den and checking on things a little bit here and there, but they're not super active, getting after it. And I do, you can follow, I actually like to do this. I'll follow the snow line. So if I hunt early in the season, I can hunt down lower, and then, as the snow is melting, keep start instead of hunting at 5,000 feet, now I'm following the mountains north out of Boise and hunting up at 7,000 8,000 feet, to kind of follow that specific, conditions that I'm looking for as far as the vegetation is concerned. But if you're completely unfamiliar with, you live in Missouri and you're coming out to Idaho to bear hunt, and you have no idea about the area, you're just shooting in the dark. You're gonna have no clue. That's just a lot of that's gonna be based off of resident knowledge and just getting up in the mountains. As far as tools, there's definitely, I haven't used that Onyx satellite, that kind of on-demand imagery, but I would think that'd be pretty stinking helpful. And I think there's some other sources out there where you can get kind of quote unquote live satellite imagery. Maybe it's a photo taken in the last week, things like that. That would be incredibly valuable.
Yeah, one thing similar to that, like in terms of a resource, may or may not apply, but would be worth considering, is looking at, one of the best data sources and visibility opportunities that's there is really looking at some of the ski report stuff. And so whether that's going directly to, like a lot of the ski resorts are going to have live cameras, but they're also going to have a lot of data. So whether it's going directly to a resort or just looking at some of the more ski-focused apps and things that are tracking snowpack, snowfall, et cetera. Again, there may not be a ski hill directly in your hunt area, but if you can look in proximity and then equate elevation bands, you just may find that really helpful. So again, just thinking outside of just the hunting box, just the hunting resources, and thinking broader picture, if I'm after understanding snowfall, snowpack, snow line, elevation bands outside of the hunting world, like Onyx is great, all those things are great, but like what's a way to get at what I'm trying to get at, even though it's not hunting related? And so looking at some of that ski data could be a really helpful example. And then outside of that, I think you have to dig a little bit further and deeper, but obviously National Weather Service, a lot of times they're going to have some remote weather stations that can have really good data. Sometimes even cameras as well. They're maybe not updated as frequently, but there is data out there. It just can be harder to find at times on getting more, both, I don't want to say real time updates because it's not always real time, but pretty updated information as well as trends, right? You can look at what is relatively current levels this year compared to normal or compared to previous years, et cetera. And then just another thing that comes into mind for spring bear guys who are traveling, and this ties into snowline elevation bands and all that, but that affects you and your logistics as well. Don't forget, if you're looking and doing research and you're looking at roads, that obviously can be also affected by snow, by conditions, by elevation. So if you're coming from out of state or you're looking into a new area and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to drive up to here, well, just driving up to there may not be possible yet based on snowfall. So, is the pros and cons to everything. You go later, you're going to open up more country. You're going to have better access. Logistically, things are going to be a little bit easier. But to your point, Steve, maybe you're dealing with higher brush, more vegetation, more mobile bears, more movement, tougher to close the distance. So Yeah, that's just hopefully, there's no one answer in there, but those are all variables to think through as you're kind of planning timing and planning Spring Bear. It's gonna be fun to have a hunting big game hunting season open here again soon. And one
I
in
know,
some
yeah.
sense it feels like it's been a long time since it's like winter went by fast this year for me, but it still feels like a long time that I've just actually been hunting.
Yeah, I haven't even been, I don't know, it's just kind of been so many other projects going on. I hadn't really been thinking about what
Yeah.
spring bear hunting, but now that it's like, holy crap, it opens in 15 days. Like, 'cause I can certainly got some lower elevation spots and go out and poke around looking for some bears, kind of getting excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you guys have any other bear related questions, we can definitely try and work those in. And as always, just hear how your hunts goes is a lot of fun. So stay in touch on that. And then just in terms of timing, I know a lot of guys aren't not everyone gets out for spring bear, but you may be planning fall hunts and the same thing, like timing wise stuff sneaks up on you. So don't forget to just make the most of your time, your spring. Like there's such a good time to get outside, even if you're not going to get out and spring bear hunt. And I know we beat this drum, but it's worth beating this drum consistently. Just make the most use of your time. You may not have a hunt till fall, but spring is such a great time to get outside, get active, start, training, start testing gear, throw the pack on, do some weighted hikes. It almost doesn't matter where you're living, where you're coming from. Like this time of year, we're getting into some prime time to really get some good time in the field. So definitely make the most of it. Steve, anything else? Anything exo related timing wise? Like I know you and I have both been pretty consumed by death hike and stuff like that, but
Oh, dude, there's so much going on behind the scenes right now, just gearing up for the experience project, content project, getting the golf tournament logistics put together. We got the death hike coming up. Man, there's just a lot going on. So yeah, I feel like lots to come, but nothing really at the moment to chat through. Yeah.
just a few little things. We did just drop back our lead time back to normal, which is 1 to 2 days. It was extended there for just a little bit for high order volume, but we are back to shipping everything 1 to 2 days. So maybe you do have a spring bear hunt coming up. If you need anything gear wise from us, we can get it shipped to you right away. And then we did just get a restock of those ultralight Nalgene bottles. We've been selling so many of those, and they've been coming in out of stock, and you guys keep buying them super fast. We ended up buying essentially everything they would give us this time, so we do have a whole bunch of them, but they are back in stock. I know some of you guys have been waiting for them, so check that stuff out as you're if you're interested. As always, if you have any questions for us for a future podcast or anything, reach out, send an email to podcast@exomountgear.com. Again, this week, I'm going to put out two episodes. We're going to have a full-length episode on Wednesday and another bonus episode on Friday. So make sure you're stay tuned for those. And then next week, I have no idea what type of condition we'll be in, what type of story we'll have to tell, but next week is post-death hike and good, bad, or ugly, probably a combination of all the above. We'll be
I'm
sure to tell you about it.
so determined to do this hike. I'm he's certainly afraid what I'm gonna put myself through and what I'm gonna feel like the 2 to 4 weeks after.
We shall see. Stay
We
tuned for
shall see.
more. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you soon.